O God, take our minds and think through them, take our lips and speak through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen.
Amen.
When I left home to go to seminary at Princeton, there were many in our Southern Baptist Church that questioned my choice of schools and claimed that I was going off to a bastion of liberalism. I was told I would lose my faith, along with all those in academia who clearly did not believe the Bible and questioned the Word of God. And to be honest, their claims scared me. Would I lose my faith by going to study it? What I found at Princeton actually surprised me, though it shouldn't have, as I look back. I remember wanting to weep in an Old Testament class because our professors acknowledged that there were tensions in the texts. The commands by God to kill whole people groups and inconsistencies between writers. I wanted to weep because I had always struggled with those tensions and not been allowed to name them. But these professors were not just slamming the Bible as inaccurate or untrue. What struck me most was how clearly their faith emanated from them. They had spent their careers faithfully wrestling with Scripture, and it was easy to see the Holy Spirit's presence in them when they spoke. I realized this should not have been surprising. I was always told that Scripture was living and active. Why would we think that God would not be at work in people who spent their lives studying the Word of God? But the truth is, I still fall into believing that God is not working among people who do not interpret Scripture as I do. And I think most of us do this. Perhaps we're scared that if we acknowledge that God is working in them, it might mean that God is not working in us, because we come to such vastly different conclusions about what Scripture is saying. This has been the root of most struggles in the church now and in the past. So it's important for us to talk about what Scripture is, what it does mean to us, just as our passage from Hebrews does today. Because Scripture gets used in many ways. We don't have to look very far to see it used to defend any number of beliefs that run the gamut of any spectrum you can think of. Some things we agree with, some things seem weird or strange but kind of harmless, and others are downright harmful and cruel. But because there is Scripture, there is a nagging feeling, even when it is used in a way we know is not right, because we know Scripture to be powerful. Because Scripture is powerful, it both draws us to it and makes us want to stand at a safe distance. Today's words from Hebrews give us a hint of why. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. This passage now always makes me think of one of my favorite scenes from the movie Saved. The movie, a satire set in a Christian high school, tells the story of Mary, a popular and good Christian girl who becomes pregnant, though no one seems to notice because this wasn't something anyone imagined happening in their school. But Mary becomes isolated and depressed, struggling with the pregnancy alone. She begins to question the assumptions of those around her, and her former friends decide she is slipping, so they try to perform an exorcism, waving a Bible around over her. Mary struggles to get away, and when she does, one of them throws the Bible at her and hits her. She picks it up, turns, and says, "This is not a weapon." Too often the Bible is used as a weapon, often supported by this verse from Hebrews and others like it. But when we use it like this, we ignore who in the passage is holding the sword and what it is meant to be used for. Hebrews tells us that the Word of God is like a sword that can divide soul from spirit, joints from marrow. Those are precisely divisions we don't see, ones we don't understand, and that is the point. It is able to reach places in us that only God knows. The Word is not meant to be a weapon in our hands, and it is not a weapon in the hands of a wrathful God. It's a metaphor telling us how deeply God knows us. That is not to say that this metaphor is suddenly comfortable. Through the Word, God tests the thoughts of our hearts, our innermost beings. And if we don't feel vulnerable enough at that, the passage assures us that before Him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare. I don't know about you, but that seems uncomfortable, if not downright terrifying. I know too well the thoughts and intentions of my heart. They're not all good, not all clean. Far too often they are about myself and what I want at the expense of others. Far too often they are critical, judgmental, and devoid of grace. Being naked and laid bare is the ultimate vulnerability. All of who we are laid out for another to see. And it tells us much about our relationship to God that we are afraid of this, because we weren't created to be like this. In the garden, the first man and woman were originally naked and walked with God. It was after they sinned that they were suddenly aware of their nakedness. They hid because they did not want to be left naked and vulnerable before God with their sin. But remember, God had still come to walk with them. Their Creator had not ceased to love them or desire to be with them. They were afraid, and they hid. We are afraid of God knowing our thoughts for the same reason that we're afraid of others knowing our thoughts. The same reason we're afraid of being naked and laid bare. We're afraid that if another knew us completely, knew us for who we truly are, they could never love us. We keep those things safely hidden away because we long to be loved. We long to be known and connected, and we are sure that that could not happen if someone truly knew all about us. But that is not what we hear over and over throughout Scripture. God already knows us completely, and God loves us. God longs to live in relationship with us. We hear the truth of this in Psalm 139, where the psalmist sings, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I know very well." It is good to be known by God in the way that Scripture speaks to us. It is what we were made for. But since those first days in the garden, we have been afraid of God knowing us intimately. We have been afraid that God will not love us, will not want us. But that is not the truth. God has never ceased loving us. And the passage goes on to tell us that Christ came for us. And through Christ, we are told to approach the throne of grace with boldness. We're never to be afraid of the God we meet in the Word, and we should not be ashamed to be known. There's nothing we can do to make this God love us more or love us less. There's nothing that stops God from wanting to know us. The Word of God is living and active in our lives today, and that is the reason we gather here and read at least two passages from it week by week. The reason we turn to it when we welcome a child or when we bury a loved one is because it is living and active. It is not words written by someone long ago that only had meaning for them and their community. It is still alive with God speaking through it today. And through it, God is still acting, not just rendering an account of something that happened long ago. Scripture is living and active among us because God is here among us. Just as God worked in that crazy, messy world that these texts were written about, God is still in our crazy, messy world. Those same things that I once saw as tensions in Scripture now serve to give me hope that if God was there working among real people, God can still be here working among us too. The Word of God is living and active. It is dynamic, never static. God's Word speaks into our world today, calling us closer and closer to God in ways that will seem new to us. While we should not be afraid or ashamed, we also should not expect to not be changed by encountering God in the Word. God will never leave us the same. The Word always calls us nearer to God, which means challenging how we think, how we act. The word will call us to join in the work of bringing the kingdom here among us. It will make us more aware of all the ways in us and around us that are opposed to the kingdom. It will point out all the ways we are selfish, the ways we fail to love God and serve others. Through Scripture, different generations are called to bring the kingdom to the world in new ways. Throughout Scripture, the word of God went out reminding people that the scope of God's love was more expansive than they had imagined, and they were called to reflect that in the community of God. And these people made an account of what God called them to do, which is what we are called to do as well. We're called to tell the story of what God is doing in our lives, what God is calling us to today. Because the word of God is not a weapon. The word of God is our story, a story that is still going on. When we hold it out like a weapon to anyone who does not agree, they immediately become an enemy who we challenge to fight back. But when we tell our story, we invite others to join that story. Telling our story invites them to know us more fully and to know the God who we have encountered. We invite them to know the one who knows us completely and loves us no matter what. We invite them to join in this story with the God who is living and active here among us today. Amen.